Thank you, precious Lord. Father, we lend our hearts to you. Have your way tonight as you hear your word. Let there be clarity in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. So, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let's dive into the word. Let's dive into God's word. Romans chapter 8. Or before we go to Romans chapter 8, we always start from the book of Colossians, right? So that's where we often start from. So we start Colossians 3 and verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, all right? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. The word affection is the word mind, set on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, I will explain why we have to set our minds on things, not on the earth, but things above. Because someone might want to ask, why would I be instructed to set my mind on heavenly things when I was born on the earth? Why wasn't I just born in heaven and said, God then said, you know what, set your mind on things on heaven, because that's where you dwell, right? Well, I was born carnal and I was instructed to be spiritual, right? I was born on the earth and I was asked to focus on the heavens. Why look above when I was born on the earth? So we're going to answer that question today. So set your affection, that is, set your mind, your consciousness should be on things that are above, not on things on the earth. So the instruction here is not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. It says, therefore, mortify your body, put to death your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, that's inordinate passion, evil concupiscence. All right, it has evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. In which you walked also some time when you lived in them, but now also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man, which is this, and that you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. All right? Amen. It then says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All right. So it then goes further to say things like, you know, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fit in the Lord. The word fit there means fitting. That's the appropriate thing in the Lord. It says, so it's the appropriate thing for a wife to submit to her husband in a marital relationship. Say, husbands, love your wives. It was the appropriate thing for a man to love his wife, and be not bitter against them. So it is carnal, it is earthly to be bitter against your wife. Do not be bitter. And it is also carnal to not submit to the husband. These days we try to equate the man and the woman. They say both of them are the same. Both of them should, the man should submit to the woman, the woman should submit to the man. That is just completely absurd. That is wrong. That's erroneous. Because you can't have two people submitting. You know, you can't do that. When the word submission is not trust, it's not entrusting your feelings, entrusting your giving yourself to them. Not that is not the submission used here. The word submission means to be subject to someone's control. That is the instruction. Yeah. So it's not the same thing. Both of them cannot be subject to them. You know where people get this is from Ephesians 5. Let's quickly look at that. We're not on marriage today, but let's just look at that. Ephesians 5. Look at Ephesians 5 from verse 19. It says, speaking to yourself Or let's just start from verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy, with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." It then says in verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." It says, "Wives, submit unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wife be subject to their own husband." We're going to go back to that verse, that 21. We're going to go back in a second. Husband to in everything. So it says, husband, love your wives, even as... Oh, husbands, submit to your wives too. Is that what it said? No. Because, look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. If he meant that... if verse 22, I'm not saying verse 21 now. If verse 22, which says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands... as unto the Lord, is an expansion or a continuation or an explanation of verse 21, which says, submitting yourself unto another, he should have correctly in detail specified the submissions. So the submission of the wife is to be subject to the husband. And if you are going by that theology of being, or let's just say thesis of belief, of man, the man to submit to the woman, and you can now say the man's submission is to love the wife, because both of them can't be subject to each other. The woman is subject to the man, as it is in the Lord, as unto the Lord. So there's meant to be a submission on the wife's part, and there's meant to be a sacrificial love that the man gives to the man. So submitting yourselves one to another, therefore, have to be explaining context. It just means love one another. That is speaking to the brethren generally in church. And then in the context of the wife and the husband, they must imitate Christ. Is that? I hope that helps. Amen. Let's go back to where we were before. Before we came back here, let's look at Colossians 3. Back again. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord." Now, notice that this is an explanation of verse 1, where it says, "Let your mind be on spiritual things." So this is a result of where we place our minds. If our minds are placed on spiritual things, then we would obey our parents in all things, right? "For this is well pleasing." So the obedience to your parents is a proper thing. I remember one of us had an issue with their parents, and do I do like this? So I always say that whatever you are doing, whether you are in agreement with your parents or whatever it is, do not ever, ever, ever dishonor them. Do not ever, ever, ever be in the position where you would disobey them. No, you can pray for God to grant them understanding in things that you feel that they do not understand, but do not ever be that. Don't create a negative relationship with your parents. Don't put yourself in a position where you have disobeyed and you have a scar in your relationship with your parents. You don't do anything that will create such a thing. You just have to be obedient and subjective to them, because it is pleasing in the sight of God. It is not foolishness. You're not being foolish. It is pleasing in God's sight. So say, but does it mean that they would now control me? That is something that happens on the, should I say, on very, very, very rare case. And I might even say that sometimes we even assume that these things could actually be. Now, there's a difference between having an abusive parent, someone that's an abusive parent, and say, "Oh, your parent, just abuse." That's not obedience. All right, it's not saying be subject to abuse. Same as marriage, are you submitting to an abusive husband? No, God doesn't ask you to submit to abuse. Even Peter said, "Do not be shepherds over God's flock as a lord over them." So there's that. It is sinful for someone to be to exercise authority in an abusive manner. All right, it is sinful. It's a sin, and God, it is not pleasing in the sight of God. So henceforth, the believer must not be expose themselves to an abuse of any kind. All right, it is not the will of God. It is not pleasing in God's sight. So if that is not the case, you must know how to relate to your parents in such a way that does not dishonor them. If you must disagree with them, you must disagree with them with honor and in honor. It is pleasing unto God. Hallelujah. Fathers, provoke not your children. We are not dealing with this. That's why I'm not going into too much detail. Fathers, provoke not your children unto anger, lest they be discouraged. So your parents, as a parent also, you do not discourage your children. You do not provoke them to anger. You don't do things. You don't abuse them. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what Paul is saying here, rather. Do not abuse them. So it's both sides. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. And so he goes on to talk about some of these other things. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. King James uses the word singleness, but the word singleness means sincerity of heart, fearing God. So when you are working for somebody, you ought to fear God. You ought to know that your conduct is a service to God in that work. You do not abuse them. For those of you that abuse people that you're working with, you probably steal their money, you take advantage of them. You're not doing it as unto the Lord. Your conduct is not a sweet smelling savour to God. It is honor to God when you are doing that. Hallelujah. But it is a sin. So what is the scriptures tells us to reorient our minds to become spiritual in nature. First Corinthians 3 says, are you not carnal? Let's look at it. First Corinthians. Paul was addressing the Corinthian church. Look at First Corinthians 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Hallelujah. Sorry, 1 minute. But as unto carnal. All right, get it there. Just 1 second. First Corinthians says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He was talking to people who were believers. These are people that had not set their minds on spiritual things. So what it means to be carnal means that you now live a life that is based on simply things that are earthly, things that dwell within the realm of your five senses. You are only persuaded, moved, inspired by your physical, natural, earthly impulses. So if I, for example, am having what we call a bad day, it means I would no longer feel like going to church. It would then influence how I relate with people or how I serve my service to God. If I do not have money in my account, it would then influence my service to God. That is because my service to God or my conduct on earth is influenced by my earthly impulses. That's what it means to be carnal. It means you are carnal. Talk to your brother and say, don't be carnal. You know, that's how we speak in Africa. See, turn to your neighbor and tell him, brother, don't be carnal. Don't be carnal. He says, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. These were people, mind you, that could speak in tongues. So being able to speak in tongues does not equate spiritual maturity or spirituality or spiritual maturity. Yeah, that's the word. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Look at verse 1 to... Let's look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Read to this, to verse 8, thereabout. Verse 7. Look at it. He was speaking to them. He says, Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, he now speaks to the church. It's grace unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, that's concerning you, for the grace of God which is given upon you by Jesus Christ, right? That in everything you are enriched with him in all utterance and in all knowledge, all right? Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that they are born again. Now, look at, it now says, in such a way that you are not short in any gifts, waiting for the coming of the Lord. That is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when it comes to gifts, they were not short of it. Okay, so I say speaking in tongues is spirituality. Don't get me wrong, it's spirituality, but there has to be a level to which you are engaged in those activities that would then get you to become spiritual in nature. So you must understand. It says, you must understand that carnality is not, it should not be the disposition of the believer. Carnality should not be the disposition of the believer. Praise the name of Jesus. Carnality. So it says in Colossians 3, all right, these are the things. Let's look at it. Colossians 3. When you look at Colossians 3, it says these are the things. I'm just paraphrasing now the whole Colossians 3. These are the things that display someone who is spiritual. These are the things. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's just quickly look at Romans 8, where we stopped last week. Romans 8. We explain how that Paul was saying that the man under the law was struggling with sin. In Romans 8, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, look at verse 6. It says, let's start from verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That is, they set their minds on things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. What does it mean to be after the flesh? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after naturalistic things do mind the things of the flesh. So if, like I said, if things are going well on earth, that will mean, oh yeah, oh, I'm happy. But then if things are not going well, that means I'm sad. But if you are moved by the uncertainties of this world, then guess what? You're not going to be happy. You are endangered, actually. You know, in business world, we call the world, the business systems of this world, VUCA world. It's an acronym that stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. All right? It means that the world is unpredictable. All right? That's VUCA world. It's ever changing. It's ever changing. You can't look at something and say, that's it. You know, we come up in the technological world. Things always advance. You know, today you come up with a cell phone and you can make calls and you think you have broken through, the world. That's all that there is to it. But hey, guess what? Next thing you're seeing, you don't have to have phones anymore. you have to just either think of it and then you're speaking to the person. Who could ever even think that there would be a phone initially? You know, from a normal phone where you needed keypads, you went to the touch screen that needed a light pen, then you went to the touch screen that just you could just press it, you could see the thing on the screen. Then you went to the touch screen that just had a screen and you could press anything. You know, when you have a screen that just has one button down, you say, how am I going to type a number? But guess what? That is advancement. That's advancement. You know, if you're in the programming world, you discover that there's always an improvement, an advancement in programming languages, you know, for different purposes and achievements in this world. So once you are here, you are getting into something new. And if you are moved by those things, brethren, you either get into depression, you get into failure, complete failure. But there's something. Look at the book of 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. I'm about to hit something right now. Hallelujah. Egedebo Shakaya. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. Please pay attention. If you've not been paying attention before, please now pay attention. And if you are not paying attention now, then, okay. First Timothy 6, verse 17. It says, command them. It's a command. Hallelujah. That's what charge. Them that are rich, pay attention, in this world. Oh, let's say you have everything that you ever needed. You don't have problems. that are rich in this present age. It says that they be not high-minded. That is, don't think, oh, you're haughty. Don't think you have it all. I'm now rich. I don't have any. Yeah, if I want anything, I get it. That is how life is. No, no, no. It says, don't be so at rest. It says, not trust in uncertain riches. Can you see the qualifier there? Uncertain. How can you call something uncertain? He calls riches. Well, now, when he's talking about riches, not talking about spiritual riches. Oh, you're rich in the knowledge of Christ, you're rich in spiritual gifts. No, he's talking about money. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's talking about money. It says, charge them, command those people that are rich in this world, that they be not haughty, high-minded. All right, I'll read another translation. It says, teach those who are rich in this world, that's NLT, not to be proud and not to trust in their money. Let's use that word money as a unifier for all many other things. Things, anything that has to do with earthly things, including the earthly feelings. Don't trust in your feelings. Do not be moved. Don't place your life. Don't base your life on your humanistic feelings. Don't base your life on humanistic feelings. Let your life be based on eternal things. Oh, glory to God. It says, like they not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Oh, glory to God. It says unreliable. Can you see the qualifier there? Unreliable. It says their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for enjoyment. So it's saying that our trust should be in God. Let your mind be focused on spiritual things, not on natural things. So why would God bring me on the earth to focus on spiritual things? Because earthly things are not supposed to lead us. We are to control them and use them. But what is meant to lead us is God himself. Hallelujah. Oh my God. I don't know if somebody is understanding what I'm saying today. Hallelujah. Listen. Let me say that again. Some say, but I was born transsexual, heterosexual, episexual, and sapiosexual, monosexual, disposexual. You know, everything today is now sexual. You just put sexual into every inclination we have. So I say, I get attracted to people and then I just stop getting them. I am flexisexual, you know. You know, that's just by the way. So I was born like this. Then why would God tell me to stay away from my feelings, to not act upon them? Because it's not my fault. I was born gay. I was born like this. I was born with that desire. I was born angry. I was born with the weakness of a short temper. I'm going through an addiction. We're going to talk about addiction just shortly. Just talk about that. I have an addiction or something like that. I was born like this. Guess what God says? Listen. When you move by the tides and the winds of this world, you will not win. They will overcome you. You know why? God made man to rule the earth. Now, stay on 1 Timothy 6. Let's look at Psalm 115 quickly. Let's look at it. Psalm 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. What does that tell you? That the earth itself and everything that consists of it, although it belongs to the Lord, but God gave men the authority over them. So for you to be ruled by even your body is a misuse of the body. You must never be in a place where you cannot do without something on this world. You must never be in a place where you cannot do without something or somebody in this world. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You must never be in a place, you can write this down, where you cannot do without something or somebody in this world. Now, before you misinterpret what I just said and go and take it, just take this quote and post it somewhere, because it's liable to be misinterpreted. There's a context what I'm saying. I'm not saying you can you should be independent. God did not make us to be independent. But I'm saying that you should not be in a place where you have entrusted your heart to men, entrusted your well-being to the well-being, to the well-being of others. Let me see how I can explain this better. Let's look at John chapter 2 quickly. Look at John. We're going back to 1 Timothy 6. Let's see. John chapter 2 verse 22. Verse 22 says, we'll read 22 to 25. He says, when therefore he was risen, as Jesus, from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, that's Jesus, when they saw the miracles which he did, right? But Jesus did not do what? Commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was a man. What does this mean? He's saying that when he understands that even though men mean well for you, they will not always be able to sustain you well. So your source of happiness, your drive, your influencer, your God must be God, the true God must be our Father. You must focus, keep your mind in trust with God, not in uncertain riches. Blessed is the man, Proverbs says, that does not trust in a man, but in God. Are you there? Now, we have a responsibility to be there for one another, but it is as God enables us. Right, back to 1 Timothy 6 verse 16, so I can cover what we have today. All right, 1 Timothy, 16 verse 17. All right, uncertain riches, but in the living God, which gives us all things to enjoy. So we must trust in the living God. So my heart must be placed on God. Back to Romans chapter 8. Back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. It says, for they that have the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that have the spirit, the things of the spirit. So when you are mindful of spiritual things, you become spiritual. When your daily life is based on spiritual things, when you are much more acquainted with spiritual things, you are engrossed, you are constantly, consistently engaged with spiritual things, then you become a spiritual man. Then that means when you are faced with tough life situations, when things are not going the way that it should go, you have somewhere that you know that your true joy comes from. And our joy comes from the Lord. Our leading comes from the Lord. So if I'm moved by natural things, the influence of the Spirit will not have its way. And that's why you will say, oh, God is not real. God is. I told you that the reason some people think that God is unfair because of some things that they've just struggled with is because they live in a world in their mind that they think somehow that this world is a place where things are meant to be easy. Things are meant to be done according to what we feel like doing, or should just be free. Even if you take God out of the picture, let me tell you the truth, guys. If you take God out of the picture, it's going to be worse. It's so much. God is the savior. It's the one that is bringing us out of that mindset. It's not. It comes from a mindset that you think, oh, everything is meant to be good. The scripture said, to be carnally minded. That word carnal is the word sarks. Means to be bodily minded. It says it's death. That's in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You want to have life and peace. Focus on the word of God. Fellowship with God. Pray in the spirit. Pray in all ways without prayer and supplication in the spirit. Ephesians 6:18. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Anyone who chooses God will always find salvation and peace. Anyone who chooses God. And scripture says in Hebrews, look at Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, it says in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you look at the context of Hebrews here, the writer of Hebrews explains how that the patriarchs of faith, they were tenacious in their service of God, even unto death. And they never saw the promise. And that was how they had obtained the good reports. That is how the believer wins. You must be tenacious. You must be dogged. Your mind must be made up that you are going to serve the Lord Jesus. You will follow him. That is the way to win. It's not easy. So when somebody tells you that, when you just get born again, your life will just change. It's true. It will change. But it's not easy to change. There must be a tenacious activity you give yourself to God's word. It's not easy. Nothing that is good comes easy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God made man to be a leader. Yeah. That's the truth of the matter. You must realize that our hope and everything that we rely on must be from God. It doesn't come easy. The faith patriarchs, they never saw the promise of God. Hebrews 11:13 and Hebrews 11:39. Then they all died in faith, not receiving the promise. Or by faith in Christ. Even although in a typology, they obtained a good report before God. Without faith, it's not possible. Not just to please God, but to feel his power. There must be an approach that believers must understand that we need to adopt. It's not a meagerly self-absorbed and casual approach to serving God that results in real results. It's a no looking back, face forward, unrestrained, uncompromising attitude that gets things done. Jesus Christ always said this. He always said, ensure that you know this. He always told them, in this world, John 16:33, you would have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Your mind must be focused. He that follows me, Jesus Christ said, must focus. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. You must put your hands up and don't look back. Your feelings will tell you this is that. But you're a man. When I say you're a man, I mean you are in authority. You are given authority over your body. Hallelujah. So that you are born with something does not mean you should act on those things. With grace and with God's word, God's peace will fill your mind and it will transform you to being a believer in conduct. Hallelujah. Praise God. You must trust God. Let's look at a few scriptures on that. Trust God. Some say, Cheta, why is it so difficult though? Look at Psalms 62, verse 8. Psalms chapter 62, verse 8. It says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Alright? Pour out your heart before God. He's a refuge for us. When you feel like you can't have help, God is a refuge. Psalms 55, verse 22. Got it? Psalm 55, verse 22. It says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 17. Verse 7. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares about those feelings, those things you're going through. He cares about it. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, that all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Look at Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verse 3. Sorry, not verse 3. Psalm 145, verse 14. It says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall. Alright? And raiseth up all those that be bowed down. So it doesn't mean that you will fall. You are going to fall. And this is where people always get bad and feel bad. Oh, what if I fall? You're going to... Listen, you're going to stand up again. That's the thing about God. He's graceful. There's no limit to his grace. You fell, you've fallen 10 times. I cannot use you. Yeah? That's the trick of Satan. Satan scares us by letting us feel that because of our failures and our faults, that God cannot use us. But that's not true. That's not true. God knows you're going to fall. Nothing you do catches God by surprise. Absolutely nothing. So you should know that God has seen your end. Just serve God. Don't be pressured. What will people say? Listen, nobody cares. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? Better serve God though. You only have this life. Use it for Jesus. Don't let your weaknesses stop you from serving God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Serve God though. Don't allow your weaknesses. Some people say, but the church, they will cast me out. Serve God though. You know this church. And I always tell people that because somebody has a weakness, you discover the person has a weakness, and then you take them out of leadership position. That's just funny. Where did you see that from the Bible? It's not biblical. No. Should wrong conduct be encouraged? No. Especially when it is in the open. That is when you cannot say, okay, let us hide this person. Not that you take him because you discover they have a weakness. I see some of these things on social media. Oh, because a gospel singer or a gospel minister or a gospel preacher was found to have done certain things before that were on immoral. And then they disengage or disassociate themselves and their identity from them. That is unchristlike. That is devilish. That is demonic. That's evil. Jesus said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You will not find that from me, God forbid. Not in this ministry. We will not be a ministry where if somebody is having an issue with bad habits, you go to, they finally give up and say, no, what? Listen, I would rather have people that are like that and I know. And then, now for people, no. That's wrong. That's unbiblical. Everything we call God's word today was written by men with weaknesses, loaded with weaknesses. I mean, licentious men. And in their true service to God, God counted their works, that work of faith towards him, as a good thing. Since they obtained a good report. You think by what they say by faith Abel, you think Abel didn't have faults? Why you say by faith Noah? You think Noah didn't have faults? He was a drunkard. Noah was, you know, this way they go to and be drinking ogogoro. No, they call ogogoro. You drink alcohol, strong wine. An alcoholic. Say by faith, Samson did. He called Samson there a prostitute patronizer, a fornicator. By faith, obtained a good report before God. So, why are you serving? Is it God or is it man? I told you to place your heart on spiritual things. It includes also placing your heart on God and allowing His own justification and His vision of you to justify you and to be satisfied with God alone. I don't care what people say. I'm not saying I don't care about right conduct. In fact, part of placing your heart on spiritual conduct is that you conduct yourself spiritually on this earth. But not because of your faults, you begin to say, God cannot use me. I don't believe God. No, God believes in you. Hallelujah. God believes in you. Say, God believes in me. Say, I will trust God. Say, I will serve God. God believes in me. Say, God believes in me. God believes in me. I can fail now, but God believes in me. Yeah. I might not see it now, but God truly believes in me. I might fail. I might not have the strength, but God is my strength. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. He's my power. Yego shakala. Hegedebo shakaya. Yes, that's why I can laugh, because the devil has lost it all, because I have the one who does not condemn me. Glory. He is the strength of my life and the source of my strength. I will look upon the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord that made the heavens and the earth. That is the dwelling place of men and the dwelling place of the spiritual beings. He is the source of my strength. In him, I find rest. Glory to the name of the Lord. That is why every knee will bow and every tongue, including atheistic beings, will confess that the Lord of mercy, the Lord of hosts, whose power is not in authoritarian exposition and demonstration, but in an absolute, unending, unconditional demonstration of unconditional mercy. He giveth love. He giveth forgiveness. He is the Lord of mercy. He is the Lord of prodigal mercy. Hallelujah. Licentious, uncontrolled mercy. For if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we would have been overthrown by our enemies. Oh yes, if the Lord should judge us for our sins, we would all have been consumed if it had not been for the Lord. But thanks be to God who causes us to triumph always. Hallelujah. There's no failure here. It's the winner. You know, we come with this world with a certainty of a victory. We don't come and say, oh God, we might win. Yeah, we are winners in the name of the Lord Jesus. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is how to conduct yourself in this world. Don't be cast down because of your weaknesses. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask of him. Before you know, those weaknesses that you thought that we are so powerful, that you are so attuned with your naturalistic mode of living, those things that you think that we are so intertwined with your natural disposition, those things that you thought we are so engraved into your cells, the Spirit of God changes that man and makes him a new man. He reforms, he changes, he empowers, he matures you and makes those things to drop as though they never existed. Dear believer, have a tenacity towards serving the Lord. I say, have a tenacity towards serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I have made up my mind to serve the Lord in good, in bad, in plenty, in lack. I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. He remains the strength of my life and the source of my strength. Hallelujah. Glory. Hayayagaha. The name of Jesus. Say glory. Say glory. Say glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. 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 Therefore, I will meditate on these things. We end with this. Hallelujah. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. Look at Philippians. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. It says in verse 8. All right. Let's start from verse 6. Are you ready? Be careful for nothing. The word be careful is the word be anxious for nothing. All right? You with me? Are we there? Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So there must be a prayerful attitude that the believer has. I wrote today, I said that you cannot pray an hour for a day is a danger. I mean, pray in the spirit. I didn't say, Father, bless me, Father, in your understanding, in your local dialect or in local language. No, I mean speaking in tongues. All right, you as a believer, your prayer life must be in tongues, and then you speak in your understanding after tongues. Right? Give me a second. Sorry. So that's Ephesians 5 says praying always. Sorry, Ephesians 5 says look at it. Ephesians 5 quickly. Let's just look at it. We'll come back to Philippians 4. Let's look at it. Ephesians 5. We looked at it earlier today. Ephesians 5 verse 16. It says. Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks for all things. So he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. Then Ephesians 6 verse 18 then says, if you read from verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So when we say God is our source, means you must place yourself in the place where you can receive that source of strength. So it's not by saying God is my source and then I'm just eating food morning, afternoon, night, watching Netflix, binge watching YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, laughing and wasting my time, or even going about doing some real good stuff, like legal stuff, like proper stuff, you know, reading books and going to work, coming back home, getting to your family, going for exercise and all of that. That is not the way to receive strength from God. Oh, God is my strength. He's going to do it whether I like it or not. No, God does not do things whether you like it or not. He does things that you receive from him. He does things within a man that receives, that permits him to do. Hallelujah. So the way you receive strength in the Lord is by doing something active. You to be strong in him. That is, you engage yourself with the word, engage yourself with prayers and long hours in prayers. Look at it. Put on the whole armor. So in this world, you must be armored up. It says that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word wiles is schemes. Satan has schemes. You know what schemes? You know when you have a scheme of work? I mean, Satan has a plan. The devil has, he does plan, he does projects. Do you understand? the devil does projects. You know, he does projects and he plays the long game. That's something he's just looking like it's inconsequential now. Does not mean that he does not have a plan. Satan does, you know, because he has been with men and he's reading and understanding what is going on. So he's making, don't be scared by what I'm just saying. But he's saying, if you put on the armor, don't be scared. He said, put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand against, that is, you'll be able to defeat, conquer the schemes of the devil. It then says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of this world, in spiritual wickednesses in heaven. Right, that word high place is the word epiranos. It means heaven, right? The same word used for heaven. So I told you guys what heaven really means. It's not a place where we are going to when we die. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's where the believer is. That's where spirit beings dwell. Amen. But the heaven will become the new heaven and the new earth. Hallelujah. That is in terms of revelation. It exists already, but in terms of revelation, it become a place where God would exercise his authority. Amen. Amen. So that's by the way. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. All right, that means when you've done all this, you're going to stand. Wherefore, stand therefore, having your loins get about the truth. So your word, your mind must be focused on God's word, the truth of God's word, not in lies of people. You know, we live in a world where everybody wants to have their way. You want to do things by your own self. You know, I want to quickly look at something. I read something. Someone said this. Person said in the 1980s we had a projection, we had a movement called self-esteem movement. Oh, your self-esteem is important to you more than any other. 1990s you had self-made. You are self-made. You can be self-made. It's self-made. 2000s we had self-help programs, self-help movement. 2010s we had this belief in yourself. Self. You don't need people. 2020s self-love. You know, we've talked about self-love, that the scripture
just does not teach self-love. When he says love your neighbor as yourself, he does not teach that. He was teaching love your neighbor as Christ had loved you. That's what he meant. You're gonna be you can go on the teaching and look for the teaching on true and the truewine.org and search in our teaching section, search for self-love. I think you most likely see it in the homepage anyways. If you're listening to at this time of the year. Of the world, you know, he said it's the same humanism wearing different masks, but you were created to trust someone bigger than self. His name is Jesus. So you're meant to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by focusing on his word. All right, so you cannot trust in Jesus, you cannot claim to trust in Jesus without doing what you're meant to do, that is, without reading his word, spending ample time on his word every day. More than you spend on social media, for example, and naturalistic things, you must give yourself to the word. It's a labor. It's not done as a tea party. That's what ministry is. Ministry is also growing. Hallelujah. Okay. That says God about says having your Ephesians 6. We're in Ephesians 6. Don't forget your hand is still in Philippians 4. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. So the truth of God's word is not to live a life of selfishness, selfish. That was the sin of man, to go into self. Okay? You say, don't believe God. Don't follow him. Do your thing. That's doing your thing is always eating of the tree of knowledge of good. And that's do what is right in your own sight. All right? And having your breastplate. And having the breastplate of righteousness, all right, the breastplate of righteousness, that's the righteous doing the right thing, hallelujah. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So your feet must be, and you must be part of those that preach the gospel. It says above all, I say, taking the shield of faith. Remember, I said tenacity towards obeying God. Don't back down. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you must, you see, that's why you are called soldiers. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is everything. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Where? In the Spirit. That is praying in tongues. And watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Someone say, how is praying? Praying in tongues. Read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It says, for he that prayeth in the Spirit, for he that speaketh in tongues, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. But unto God. How be it in the Spirit, he speaketh. Albeit in the Spirit, speaking mysteries. Okay, let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 14, just quickly, just can clarify that quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. I say, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, you know, so which means to pray in the Spirit is to speak in tongues. Look at verse 14, first of all. It says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth. So to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, but my understanding is fruitful. Then look at it. Verse 15. Well, what is there? I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. So to pray in the Spirit means to pray in tongues. That's by the way. So when it says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, it means you pray in the Spirit. You receive supplies of God. When you pray in the Spirit, you engage yourself. If you have not prayed up to 6 hours, personal prayers for yourself, you are yet to become, you are yet to engage yourself and maximize the gift of God. I must be plain. Plain with you. I'm not talking about corporate prayers. You must have a regular habit of praying long hours. Long hours. Sometimes you pray 10 hours. You engage yourself like that. You become spiritual. So that you engage authority on earth. Even your body. It's not saying that if you pray 10 hours, you don't have natural feelings. No. You are becoming spiritual by that, by those activities. You find yourself becoming much more controlled. You find yourself in much more control. And you will panic less about things. when trends of the world come in, you don't panic like every other person. It's more like you've been through this before. You know what this is about. This is not my focus is not on the world. It's in eternal realities, things that can never change. How I'm forever a child of God. How I'm forever united with Christ. I can never be taken out of Him. So I'm assured a world where there will be no cry, no sorrow, and everything. I'm assured an eternal home with God, a place of rest, place of joy. Praise the name of Jesus. And nothing can take that, the joy of the Lord. Nothing can take the peace of God. Hallelujah! The power of God. The fire of God. Look at back to Ephesians.
back to Ephesians 6. All right. So praying always up, praying and supplication in the spirit is praying in tongues and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So praying for the saints as well. So back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. We end now. So, all right. So it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. So that what happens when you pray that you receive peace. It says, which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Valada. Yeah. So Balabu Shag Lan. So brothers and sisters, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Glory to God. I tell you. Now, God will do it for you. God will do it for you. The Lord will do it for you. Glory to God. Let's continue. Hallelujah. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. That's noble things. Whatsoever things are just, that are good, that are the right things. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, it says, meditate on these things. This will help you so that you will not get under the pressure and the distraction and give yourself as a prey to what can never sustain you, which is worldly things, including women and nude images online. If they're not just, if they're not right, don't assume that, oh, I'm mature. We'll get into that later on. Praise the Lord. Just stay away from everything that will cause you to be in trouble. Those things that you think you have power over, God says don't meditate on them. Meditate on just things, the right things. Let your mind be pure. So that when they mention a fruit, you will not be thinking of something else. I know these days you almost can't avoid certain things. But let your mind meditate on just things. When I say I love you, brother, you should not be thinking of something else. Not be thinking of it as in a sexual way. Your mind should be pure. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your mind should be pure. My mind must be pure. Say my mind must be pure. It's pure. You keep it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. We will keep our minds pure. We'll meditate. We'll keep ourselves pure. Keep our minds pure. Meditate on good things and just things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good reports. So if you're watching movies, don't just watch rubbish, demonic movies. I don't watch scary movies. Now, that is for you if you want to watch that. But I don't think it's strange. It's fear. I don't watch that. I can't even watch it. Because I'm too used to faith. I'm too used to boldness. I'm too used to peace. That I should. If I'm watching these days, I can't even watch a scary cartoon. Cartoons with demons or whatever. There's something I see when I see those things. It's as though I can't. You know, those things, I recognize certain characters you see on cartoons as actual demons. I recognize demons there. They are actual demons. No jokes. I'm not being stupid here or just naive or... I'm telling you facts that nobody might tell you. Just some of them, not all. Just be careful anyways. The movies you watch, the songs you listen to, avoid certain things that are not lovely. Not worthy of praise. Yeah, I'm not churchy. That's why you're struggling with sin. Because you're not churchy. You must be churchy. Let them mock you. Let them call you names. I'm not churchy. No, you must be churchy. To be churchy means you must be spiritual. You must be Christ. You must be a... You must be a man of God. I am not churchy. Someone say, I'm not a Christian. No?
Yeah. No, say I'm not a gospel minister. I'm just a Christian that ministers. You like bad things. It needs to be. You need to identify with. It's going to affect your life. I don't feel intimidated when someone tells me, "Ah, you don't know this song." I don't care. That is not what I focus on. I'm not any more relevant because I know something that is a trend. Unless it's news or something, I feel like, okay, I must know things that are important, not frivolous things. Those are not important things. Hallelujah. You must be focused on spiritual matters. Praise the Lord. Christ is our life. We are born of God. That is the way God intended that men should rule the earth. When he says dominate, he says dominate with light. Amen. Are you blessed? Hallelujah. You must dominate with light. Praise God. Are you blessed? Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Have your way in our lives. We give ourselves to you, Lord. May your name be exalted now forevermore in Jesus' name. And let this word find reality in our lives. Now, listen, Magadosh, the word, Satan, you will not destroy this word. You will not have a distracting thing in the name of the Lord. Our people that hear this word will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we decree, amen, that the Lord will have his power through his preaching, that men will be developed in their relationship with God and how they conduct themselves. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every addiction and every depression, everything that has caused you to live in wrong life, in meditating wrong things. We command it, get out in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that are having addictions, the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. I will talk about addictions. Let me just quickly say that addictions would go. All right, they will go, but don't be discouraged. If you must do naturalistic things to get away from what happens with addiction, is that the way to get out of addictions is that first of all, you must realize that no demon has controlled you. You must realize you're born again. If you're a believer now, addictions can go, and the Lord will help you. You must be able to be strong and resist addictions. You know, sometimes it takes other natural measures to get yourself control from addictions. May God help you in Jesus' name. We'll talk about that later. God bless you. See you soon.